Hello and welcome back to another episode. Are you clapping?
No, that was a White Claw being cracked open. Oh. That was a White Claw hard seltzer being opened on this fine Wednesday evening, Will.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Spartans. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. I am your host, Will Hunter, joined by my drunk on vacation co-host, Matt Sheehan.
Slightly inebriated. That's what my lawyer standing behind me wants to say right now. Slightly inebriated. That's all.
Is it unprofessional? I mean, so if we were hosting...
Yeah, it's wildly unprofessional. Are you kidding me? Yeah, no, this is not good. I'm sure that the RockAuto would not be pleased right now, but hey, we're here. We're trying our best.
It's just a bit. Matt's not actually drunk.
No, I know. But if I was, if it was Imani Bates week, it would be understood if I was, you know?
Like, he's celebrating all week.
Well, yeah, you get 3 weeks of just doing whatever you want to celebrate when yeah. Imani Bates, who is a good recruit, commits to your school. So here I am just allegedly celebrating it right now, yes.
He is pretty good.
He's fine. Probably top 50 for his class, right?
Yeah, somewhere in there. He's sure. Never going to play at Michigan State, though, man.
Oh, let's talk. Actually, no, let's not talk about it. We talked about it last episode. Full, yes.
If you want Imani Bates stuff and didn't get a chance to, Monday afternoon we did a screaming, shouting, he committed podcast, and then that night published Tuesday morning, we talked about it like adults.
Your old boring breakdown, yeah. But still.
Some good info, though. I thought we covered all the scenarios pretty well and kind of dove into the pluses and minuses of each one and tried to just sort of paint a realistic, accurate picture. That's not what we're doing today.
No.
Today we are going to talk about COVID in college football, but in a slightly different way than we've been doing. Previously, we've just been like, oh, there's 30 cases at LSU. Oh, God, there's, you know. Eight more at Alabama. Oh, no.
Enough about the players, though, Will. It's time to talk about us the fans, baby. Woo! Let's go.
Yeah, something interesting caught my eye from, I think it was Nicole Auerbach, right? Is that who it was?
I believe so.
I'll find it when the time comes, and I'll make sure I get the proper credit. Sure. About something that could be in the cards for fans in college football stadiums this season. And I want to talk about that, and then I got a couple other sort of Twitter polly type questions that I think you and I can discuss back and forth a little bit. So we'll do that.
Yeah.
Segments one and two, and then, well, we'll see. Maybe one and a half. We're going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the first half of the BTN All-Decade football team. It's weird what they're doing, but we can talk about that in a little bit, Matt.
You said it best. It is weird, but
it's weird.
We will get into it. Yes,
for sure. Yeah. So that's the plan for today's show. Reminder to rate, review, subscribe. You can find Locked On Spartans wherever you get your podcast. And for new listeners out there, because we have some, thank you, Imani Bates.
Wow, one time for Imani.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
One time for Imani. We normally do this every single day, like Monday through Friday, 5 episodes a week, half an hour shows. Right now we're in summer mode, so we're down to 3 a week. At the end of the month, I would say we'll start ramping back up, so long as there's a clear picture of, yeah, we're probably going to have Michigan State college football this season, then we'll start ramping it up. Matt, these are unprecedented times, and it's a fluid situation.
These times? Unprecedented?
These
unsure?
Times
questionable?
Have no precedent.
Oh, wow. I only wish there was a commercial or two that would say that. Okay.
We're in this together.
You say so. No, that's where I draw the line. Are we, though?
We are not in this together. We are absolutely half the people are in this for this reason, half for the other reason, and we are not all in this together. And
but it could be college football that get us all together, because there have been governors, plural,
yeah,
that have said,
yeah, let's start the show right there. Let's get into it. I've seen like 12 governors, 9 governors, too many, frankly.
Governors, plural. Right.
Governors,
yeah.
Plural. There are 50 of them in the United States states. You know, Puerto Rico has its own governor as well in different territories. But in terms of the United 50 states, 50 states of the Union, we have 50 governors.
Yeah.
And I've seen at least 20% of them.
I don't hate it.
Plead with their constituents to put on a damn mask so we can have football. Not so we can, protect the elderly.
Nope.
Do something nice for the most vulnerable of our populations.
Screw them.
Not to slow the spread with nonsense. A proven public safety device.
No. Don't care.
Not to show, just symbolically, your fellow state friends, like your townsfolk, your community members.
Enough of that. Yeah.
Your fellow Americans.
Go fly a kite humans, with that idea. No.
Just
no
simply
way.
A display showing them, hey, I care about your health. I'm doing this not just for me, but for you as well. Which is what, the mask symbolizes.
No.
Not for any of that. We're not doing this for any of that. Please put those masks on, not to help stabilize the economy so we can slow the spread down, right? Not for any of that. Not for the frontline workers working in the hospitals. Not for any of that.
Nope.
Football. Put them on.
I love
it. So we can have football. I've seen so many governors say, please wear a mask. I think even like we live in Michigan and Gretchen Whitmer has been one of the more, I guess, like strict in terms of imposing rules and lockdowns and being quick to do so. Mm-hmm. They just reclosed bars again. I feel like she has even said, if you want football, put on a mask. It's not just like the diehard, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, although they are certainly all doing it. I've seen every single one of them do it. The entire SEC has done it. A lot of governors are telling people to put on masks if you want football this year. No,
like, I love comedy, all sorts of like sitcom, situational stand-up. There's nothing I appreciate more than when a stand-up comedian can read the room and know their audience. Now, these governors aren't comedians, but I can appreciate them finally reading the room and be like, you know what's going to resonate with these people? Bringing collegiate sports into their lives and saying, wear a mask. Because I get it. Like, it does sound ridiculous. Like, okay, well, that's what these people are going to listen to? Yeah. That's I'm one of those people. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've been wearing a mask. I've been doing everything that, Governor Whitmer, Fauci, what have you, has been saying and whatnot. But, like, that further drives the point home. Shoot, we want football? Wear a mask. If you want basketball? Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to see what's going to happen this year. I missed March Madness last year. Sure, I'll wear a mask. Why not? Like, yeah, that's knowing your crowd. If they're not going to listen to you to begin with, maybe watching the Bulldogs, the Gators, the Longhorns, the Rolling Tide, the Spartans, perhaps. Like,
the Rolling Tide?
Yeah. The Rolling Tide. Yeah, they're not. I don't think they're the Crimson Tide anymore. They're the Rolling Tide. That is going to resonate with the people. The Warring Eagles of Auburn, if you will.
The COVID Tide.
Sorry.
Did you see that? Like, Alabama students.
No, I didn't.
Okay. We're going to talk about this just for a second, and then we'll get back into our actual discussion.
Your Spartans, yeah.
There was a news report that students at Alabama had, like, a friend. It was, like, a game. They had a friend who had COVID, like symptomatic COVID,
and
brought that person into a party and just had like a giant gathering around this sick person. And the first person, and like everyone put in $20, and the first person to get a positive COVID diagnosis won all the money. Like it's something like that. Like,
wow. Wow. College parties have gotten a lot more creative since we were in college, man. Jesus. Okay. Okay, all right. Hey, teach your own. If the Crimson Tide or the Rolling Tide want to do what they want to do, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I saw that today and I know adults have held COVID parties too and they're all idiotic, but sometimes you're just like, man, college students, you're so bright and
you
have such great futures in front of you, but dear God.
This really hurts my every age range is not taking COVID seriously thing because that's a mark against my PR campaign right there. Oh, crap!
You guys are so dumb sometimes, and we were dumb too. But
I don't think highly of myself, but I don't think I was that dumb. I don't know about that.
God, no. I did plenty of dumb things. I would not be in the COVID game. I don't even know what you call it.
No.
Yeah, so sorry to derail us there, but yeah, a lot of governors pleading for football because
it's your audience. Know your audience. Read the room. Okay, that's the room. My people want to see this team play. Okay, what's the biggest thing I take away from them? Their team. what's going to get them to wear a mask? Okay, their team. I'm all about it. I don't care. Like, I know people are outraged. Like, oh, how can sports mean this much to people? That's just a culture in America. I'm sorry. It is the way it is. I'm part of the problem, too. Like, maybe that's why I'm so for it. Because I know I'm part of the problem.
It's the most.
It is what it is.
I think it's an effective tactic, for sure.
Yes.
People started doing it weeks ago. Some teams on Twitter would do it. Some writers would do it.
Izzo and Tucker the other day just did it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a fine tactic. I think it will reach more people. But it's just the most dystopic, sad crap ever. It's
that's where we are right now. And yeah, it is. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yes. It makes me think, you know what? Maybe the meteor should show up.
If it's after March Madness, fine. Yeah. Which I guess further proves the point that, yeah, but whatever. It's fine. At least I know I'm part of the problem. That's got to give you some points, right?
Self-awareness is important. There was a headline, some flu strain, something or other, with pandemic potential was discovered, I believe, in China. And my reaction was, okay, but just after Imani Bates is done at MSU? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just continue until like 2023, right? Yeah.
All right, let's pause here for just a sec. We'll come right back and talk more kind of around COVID, about COVID in this sort of manner. And I do want to talk about this thing we teased at the top as it relates to fans in the stands for games. But first, Matt, a word from Rock Auto.
Rock Auto. Rock Auto. Sorry.
And just so you know, we're still hanging out and in business with Built Bar. They're just completely out of inventory right now.
That'd be like that sometimes.
So,
yeah. But you know who's in inventory?
You know who's always in inventory? RockAuto.com. They serve you, the auto parts customer, online, and they've been doing it for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from whatever an engine control module is. I don't know what that is, but they've got it.
You know, you've been saying that for like the last 2 weeks. I still have no clue what it is either. I've never even cared to look it up because that is how ignorant I am. Yes.
Yeah. They got batteries, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil. They got carpet. They got carpet. You replace your carpet. They got carpet for classic cars, minivans, daily drivers, trucks, whatever you need. You can get it in a few easy clicks. And it's delivered directly to your door, Matt. And best of all, best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same, no matter if you're a professional or just a do-it-yourselfer doing your own work at home. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You would never do that. Doesn't make sense. Don't do that. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On. Two words, Locked On. I guess one word would work too, but two words, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, so there was, this all started with a report about NFL fans potentially having to sign COVID-19 waivers. It came from Daniel Kaplan at The Athletic. Mm-hmm. And Nicole Auerbach, who also works at The Athletic, covering college football at large, said college ADs are having the same conversations about fans and their stadiums potentially signing waivers too. All right. Two questions.
Okay.
Would you sign a COVID waiver to attend college football games this fall?
Mm-hmm.
Question two, what the hell are we doing?
Do you want me to tackle question one or two first?
Your pick.
I'll go with one. So, you had this poll on Twitter, and when I voted, it revealed it was 52% yes, 48% no. Yes.
It's 53-47 with 1,000 votes as we record here at 11:15 p.m.
That's a good sample size. That's a good sample size.
It's 1,000 people. 1,000 is a lot.
Sure. Do you want to guess what one I voted for or no?
You picked yes.
I did pick yes. Yes, that is correct. 100%. But with a caveat, of course. A lot, like, okay, when a this or that question is asked, I usually just like answering, okay, it's this or that, like, don't have any gray area. If there's one topic to have gray area about, Will you allow me to have gray area about the COVID-19 outbreak. I feel like that's fair. Hold on.
You're in a scenario, you're at Spartan Stadium, you're walking in, and at the gate, you're handed a paper. Like, you're at a point where, like, I'm going to this game, and they hand you a paper about the COVID waiver. You're signing it, and you're going in.
Okay. I guess. But,
here's the context you want. It's David Harnes replied to my tweet, who I think he's still with The Only Colors, right? Yeah, he still does stuff at The Only Colors. Mm-hmm. Would you sign a COVID waiver to attend a college football game this fall if you had a 6 feet clear radius for you and your group?
I did not see that, but yeah, that's kind of where I was going to. Yeah, right. Like that's the big obvious caveat attached to that question is like, will it be... Okay, I'm going to whisper this because I don't want other fan bases to hear because it's been a running joke, but... is it going to be the Rutgers game all over again? Like, are there only going to be 20,000 people in the stands and we can socially distance? If that's the case, like, yeah. Like, I'd feel fine if there was distance between all the fans and whatnot. If it was, like, 25,000, like a third of the Spartan Stadium's attendance, sure. But here, I don't suppose your question meant, what if it was the... Like, let's talk 2015 Oregon game. There's 78,000, 80,000 people in the stands, everyone shoulder to shoulder. Like, that I would have a harder time doing, and my circumstance is different because I, at that point in a September game, I would be 2 months away from having a kid. Like, okay, I would think about that. So, like, I feel like I disqualify myself from that. I would hate to bring COVID home to my 8 month pregnant wife. That would be a tough look. That would be bad. I would not sleep well at night if I did that. But in an alternate world where I'm single, Matt, I'd probably just go full send. Whatever. Fine. Yeah, I'll sign the waiver. I got to see Spartans versus Wildcats September 5th. Let's go for it, baby. However, that's not the actual world we live in. But yeah, but if we're going for the first caveat of if you can distance 6 feet apart, then yeah, I think I would do it.
There's something fundamentally wrong with you.
Sure there is, yeah, but we know that at this point. Like, that's just known. I don't know what to tell you.
Will we see a full season of college football? Is another poll that I retweeted.
And that's maybe why I answered the way I did for the second part of my hypothetical is because, like...
get in the Northwestern game, take what you can get, and then you're... Yeah.
We talked optimistically a few weeks ago. Well, I don't know about you, bud.
Not feeling good right now. I would love it. And that's the thing. I just want to be perfectly clear here. Like, I have legitimate vested financial interest. And you
sure!
Do too,
sure!
In the college football season happening... Without a hitch.
Just sports in general happening. My God, yeah, just to be transparent, like, the amount of, like, sponsors we would have gotten in March Madness if it happened versus not happening, staggering. I had four deals
for this very podcast fall apart in the matter of hours.
I like sports for mental sanity, but for financial sanity, it helps even more, sure. But, so, like, you want sports to be canceled.
Like, bleep off. Go to hell.
I'll drive wherever you are right now and just have a talk. Like, come on. Like, I probably won't kick your ass because I'm only like 5'9 or whatever. But like, I'll be upset at you in person.
No one's that's kicking. What I'll do. We're not kicking anyone's asses. But like, I'll be upset at you in person right now.
Yeah.
God, freaking thing.
Anyway,
I want to read. So we're just kind of bouncing around here. I want to read you this quote.
Yeah.
It's an anonymous quote from a college AD. From Ben Jones, who covers Penn State.
Okay.
Quote, "We have some pretty sophisticated intelligence about, you know, who's playing who. I take that back. It's not sophisticated. It's a spreadsheet." Okay. That's the most college sports quote
I've ever heard. It's okay.
I think sometimes we forget, and I say that to say this. I think sometimes we forget that the people in charge of these decisions, not to say that this person who said it is not smart or anything along those lines, but I think sometimes we pump up too much value based on a job title. And there's a lot of people who are going to be making...
right.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who making decisions about this sort of stuff that I don't have... a ton of confidence in certain administrations, at different schools have done, like, oh, wow, look at you. You've done a really bad job at hiring coaches and handling your budget and this, that, and the other. Sure, you should handle the decision-making to play sports or not during a global pandemic.
I know.
It's just like, oh.
I know.
Bill Beekman, mustard on his shirt.
Billy Bags. Billy Bags, by the way.
Billy Bags.
Billy Bags. Let's get the record straight.
But like, he's an AD for a year, no athletic administrative experience, has hired a coach, and it's like, that's a lot to put on his plate. Just as an example.
I know. I take a lot of things with a grain of salt these days, but like, here's one thing. Sorry to just kind of jump somewhat of a topic here, but the fact that the Ivy League says they're going to make a decision on football by next week, they were the OGs of canceling their conference basketball tournament.
And
so
I shouldn't say we, a lot of people.
I scoffed at it big time. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That seems premature.
There's a million reasons, but we in America love to just look at the Ivies and go, nerds.
Pathetic.
Without realizing that. That's like within those campuses is the highest concentration of incredibly genius people we have in the country. And then we're like, nerds. And then three weeks later, every single conference is like, yeah, we're done. It's all done. The Ivy League was right.
Oh, we might be done for football. Yeah, but, okay. Also, to cross sports here, I've seen Brad Ausmus coach the Tigers horribly, and he went to Dartmouth, and that single-handedly devalued the Ivy League scholarship in my eyes, too. So, yeah, I can see why people scoff at the Ivy League. That was yes. only half of a joke, yeah, by the way.
People scoff at the Ivy League because of Brad Ausmus. Good point. Is Dartmouth even in the Ivy League?
Nationwide, they do. I want that, let that known. They're the Maryland of the Ivy League, I suppose.
Wow.
The Rutgers of the
tough look for my squad over there at Dartmouth.
Oh, they're doing Maryland fine.
Everyone at Dartmouth is doing fine. So
don't throw a telethon for them. Yeah,
I don't even know what the point of all this is to say.
No, it's just ranting. It's just ranting. It is what it is. Like, I just need to get this off my chest.
It seems like a lot of you like football too much.
And you're talking to me right now. Yeah, I know. I'm here. Like, okay, so here's the thing. It's like when I joined the podcast, like it was written that you were just gonna be my therapist through football and basketball season, which was fun. Yeah. But you're my COVID therapist now. Here's where we are. Ugh.
I don't feel great about it. I hope it happens.
I would do almost anything for it to happen. Yeah.
It would be wild if people are in the stands. I can't even.
Stands? How? Oh, like, listen, the waiver was a hypothetical, and I know the NFL is all root to it. Like, oh, we are going to have a season this year. The NFL will not let COVID be. Okay, like, it's all cute to, like, talk like that and everything and just, you know, talk it all up as if, like, oh, fear's not going to let us dictate what happens this season. Okay, but, yeah, okay. At the same time, look around you. You know, I know the death toll is blank percent, whatever. But no matter what, it can't be done. If it was up to me, I don't know. Like, but it's not. It's not up to like the people like us that just can take stats and be like, oh, well, this should happen. Like, no, it's just there's too much liability out there. It's too many numbers.
Not with waivers.
It's nationwide. However.
The W word,
baby, is back in play.
Somebody getting COVID, dying from COVID because they went to a football game, but signed
it just
a
takes
waiver,
one.
And
it just takes
got
one.
Got a lawsuit.
Of course.
It's just,
I know.
There's just so many ways. If the NBA is like stumbling around, spinning plates, trying to plug holes with their toes.
Exactly.
It.
I know. Golf. Golf has issues.
Golf.
Like
golf can't.
Good God.
It. They're pushing through, though. Mad respect to golf. Let's pause here. We'll come right back and finish out the show with some thoughts on what's going on with the Big Ten Network All-Decade Football Team. We'll do that here in just what, Matt?
A hot second.
Okay, so I don't know what the Big Ten Network was thinking with this, Matt.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking hoping that they were just going to follow suit with basketball.
Yeah,
and doing...
so, well, here, yeah, I'll recap. Basketball, they do all-decade for basketball.
Yeah.
It's third team, second team, first team on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is coach of the decade. Friday is player of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
That is clean, and that works wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, we get linebackers and running backs. Tuesday, yeah, we get linemen and tight ends. Or linemen, I think, maybe. And then Wednesday, we got
DBs and tight ends.
DBs and tight ends. So,
yeah.
Darqueze Dennard.
Two groups that practice with each other all the time, right?
Yes. Darqueze Dennard, the first Michigan State representative to get on the All-Decade team. So, like, the All-Decade, they're just doing one All-Decade team. And they did two running backs, three linebackers. So that mm-hmm. is sort of just like a standard, like, okay, you got your 11 guys, right?
Yeah.
They did six offensive linemen for some reason.
Why so an
extra offensive lineman.
Jumbo package, right?
Extra offensive lineman,
mm-hmm.
two corners, two safeties, one tight end.
Yep.
Like, we're going to have, I don't know, one quarterback probably, but how many, like three receivers? It just...
In true Big Ten fashion, it should be two receivers, six down linemen, a tight end, and a quarterback and a running back. Like, yes. I don't know if that added up to 11, where's but it should be along back? The lines of that. Where's oh, my God. No, twofold. It should be wing T. Let's talk. It should be Veer offense for the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, not doing that. Cowards. Cowards.
Like, why didn't they do a third team, a second team, and a first team? Like, they're just doing a first team, but they're not even doing a normal first team. They're doing, like, a first team and a half. They're throwing in a couple extra guys here or there.
Well, I think first team, second team would have checked out. Because, I don't know if you said this on the podcast or if this is after recorded, but, like, are they really going to do three centers, six guards, like, six tackle? Like, that seems sure. extreme if you're going to do three teams. But, like, two teams sounds...
Yeah.
Okay, and here's the thing. It's like this is Big Ten Network. The network is trying to appeal to as many schools as possible over the conference, really? And Lord knows, not every school in this conference deserves to get shined. But hey, do you know how you do that? Is you have two teams. Hey, they're going one team. But it is what it is. They did a good enough job with basketball. I'm going to trust them with this. Yeah, I would like to see two teams here, though. That's my humble opinion.
You're going to get, like, Curtis Drummond was the defensive back of the year in the conference in 2014. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get, like, we already know, he's not going to get any sort of mention.
Not even nominated, and, like, right, yeah.
And that's just one off the top. Like, there's going to be,
sure.
Say they pick three receivers, there's going to be five, six receivers who have been receiver of the year who aren't going to get any recognition at all.
If Burbridge isn't, I'm going to drive to Indianapolis or wherever the headquarters are. And I know.
That's the thing. Like it's, I don't know why they had to do it like this, like double.
I'm going
to
be
like,
mad.
Make sure all your players of the year get in. Shalique Calhoun probably won't make defensive line of the decade.
I'm
two tackles
to be mad
and two
online.
Ends.
I'm going to be very mad online. Yeah.
There's a real chance, and it's crazy. Like, maybe Shalique gets in there, and if he does, it'll be deserved. But it's either Shalique Calhoun gets left off or Chase Young gets left off, unless they do, like, four defensive ends, which is kind of crappy because what's the point of just doing four defensive ends? Like, you're breaking all the rules here. You could have done four defensive ends with two teams.
God, I'm just going to... here's the thing. Like, Big Ten just, like, they do such a good job of spreading out the love, the... Like I truly think like they don't have a bias. Like the people that rip on Big Ten, like, and I've seen it from all schools, as you do with every other channel in the world. But like, there's a little part of every fan base being like, oh, they don't like our school. Like, yeah. Big Ten Network.
Every like, fan base
the other
has night,
they had Rutgers
section.
Night. Rutgers Night was a few nights ago. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they have enough footage and love to even give them some shine. Like, no, like every fan base is appreciated by Big Ten Network. So that like that's not it. But at the same time, it's like, damn, like, what, just do two teams.
Yeah. This is a very real scenario. Michigan State, which won three Big Tens in the decade,
mm-hmm.
could very easily have one all-decade person in Dennard.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, Tony Lippett has a case, Burbridge has a case.
Of course.
Shalique has a case, Willekes has a case. Those are in Connor Cook, but they're going to do one quarterback. So
I know we're going to get to him, but... Well, of course. Their decisions have been, anyway.
No, they got, like, and all the players they picked have been like, yep, 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 they all deserve it. But, like, there's a bunch of people
For the most part, yeah.
Like, if they do two defensive ends, Shalik Calhoun, who was defensive lineman of the year mm-hmm. once, and three-time first-team All-Big Ten, mm-hmm. will probably get left off because Joey Bosa is a lock. Joey Bosa is a lock.
Sure.
Chase Young just won all the conference awards and all the national awards, too, which Shalik never won. Shalik mm-hmm. won the conference stuff. Like,
right,
how
right.
do you leave off Chase Young and winning all these national awards and being, like, what is he, sixth in the Heisman or something like that? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you can't leave him off for Shalik Calhoun because Shalik had three first-team All-Big Tens, and then you get Shalik Calhoun, three-time All-Big Ten first team, not getting All-Decade, which is absolutely insane.
Well, and what's also insane as well, and I'm sure you're going to get to this, I must miss Jack Conklin getting well, it's not like he was an All-American or picked in the top 10 or anything or was on the most successful teams, not just at Michigan State, but of any Big Ten team of this decade. It's not like he was that or anything. Like,
but even that, like, yeah, he should have made it probably, but like everyone they put on there's super stud. Like, that's the thing. It's like there's six
dudes. They're fine, yeah.
Jack Allen.
I feel like if you're on an offensive line that was part of a game where you gave up negative 50 or 46 rushing yards, like, you're disqualified immediately. As long as you're part of that game.
I know, but Taylor Lewan was Big Ten Lineman of the Year twice. He was the first one they put on.
Don't
there,
care. Sure. You're on minus 46 game. I don't care. Fly kite. Missed me with that.
Like, Jack Conklin is a perfect example because he absolutely is an all-decade player, and he's going to get no love. And
Dan Feeney from Indiana was first team All Big Ten in 1 year, and he's an NFL guy, I guess. Are we just pandering to Hoosiers?
I'm not even that mad about.
I
know you are, but like, think of this: Zeke Elliott isn't going to be anywhere on the All-Decade teams.
That seems strange. That seems strange. But then again, like, whoa, boy, they lined up the running backs. They had, like, 10 running backs that were nominated. And I know. Well, Langford has to be one of... Oh, my God, yeah. Look at this list. No,
Langford's, like, eighth.
That's absolutely insane. He's the second-best running back in MSU history, arguably, of course.
Monty
Top three,
Ball
not arguably.
900 touchdowns and didn't get on it.
It was 941. I want that number to be correct here. But
Melvin
yeah,
Gordon
I know.
Rushed for, like, 600 yards in a game.
I know. Like, wow. Like, when you look at all the nominations that BTN tweets out, I don't know if they're doing it for every position group, but, like, they've done it for a lot of them. It's like, mm-hmm. Holy, this conference is... Even like I always thought highly of the Big Ten, but whoa, you got some gamers here, man. Like, it's nice, but then it's like kind of upsetting. It's like, oh shoot, that means like of our three Big Ten winning teams that we're not gonna get as many as I thought we would, especially since you're doing one team. Because you asked me last time we recorded, like, who's gonna get more players, MSU or Michigan, and I figured they're gonna do three teams, maybe two, mm-hmm. not one. Yeah. Let's be honest, even though they did one, I still would have said MSU, but I would have been less surprised how they're doing
Antonio
right now.
Antonio is not going to get anything. He'll get a picture up next to Urban's face when they're like, here are our nominees or something like that.
And this is all off the field stuff, obviously. Is it too problematic to have Urban as your winner, though? Like,
no.
I don't know. He joined kind of halfway-ish in the decade and only coached, like, what, 6 years in the decade?
And didn't lose a single game.
but believe me, I know. Like, this all comes down to the panel. If it was up to me, like, if I was an ACC fan that just walked into Big Ten country and said, who's the coach of the decade? That Urban fella probably is. But then again, if you're the panel that has watched Big Ten football, like, Urban doesn't have the greatest legacy, and if I'm shown the picture of Urban eating pizza on the golf cart, who made him eat pizza in a sad fashion that night? Oh, Mark D'Antonio? Okay, well, let's give him a look. Three Big Ten titles, a Rose Bowl, kind of having a good decade. I might give him the nod, but that's, as you and all the listeners know, just me being a homer. Yeah. So.
And I think they just sort of, like, it's stupid how they did it because of all the players from, like, Michigan State that we've said, like, Connor Cook isn't going to get any sort of recognition, which is insane because JT Barrett's numbers are just unavoidable. Like, he had 4 years and he lit it up, even though he had different 40,000
passing yards, 50,000 rushing, a zillion 7 touchdowns.
7 million touchdowns. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, he had it easier and really, like, when JT, the biggest indictment of JT Barrett is when he got hurt, he got better.
Right.
Like, right. But still, there's just too much to overcome. And you, like, Connor Cook's record and what Michigan State did with him and then what they did without him, like, it is such an impressive case for being a player of the decade, and he's not going to get anything for it because they're probably going to go with one quarterback, judging by this, and that is just – that's stupid. Your lead, there's going to be, like, 20 to 40 players who are going to get no recognition that absolutely are, like, monumental players in Big Ten football of the last decade, and that stinks.
Yeah. And see, and this is the millennial participation trophy person coming out on me. Two teams. Everyone gets a look.
Like, no, Connor Cook's not a participation trophy person.
I know, he's a Rose Bowl trophy winner. he snatched that Big Ten MVP from Archie Griffin's hands, baby.
We're not doing this so Brian Lewerke can eventually end up on a list. We're not doing this so Clayton Thorson can end up on a list. We're not doing this so Nate Stanley can end up on a list. It's Connor freaking Cook.
John O'Korn getting handed the third team All Big Ten, right? Yeah.
It's JT Barrett and it's Connor Cook, and then
I know. I'm just poking fun at our
Braxton
generation.
Miller, because Braxton can nudge into the conversation. Although he lost his job to JT Barrett when he was a senior.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, let's talk about it. Of course he did. Yeah,
hold
on, Kirk Cousins. I one time for my boy, really quick. Oh, I know, my God,
there's still a gap. Like, Kirk Cousins won an Outback Bowl. That's dope, and he won a Big Ten title. That's awesome.
I know, but okay, let's be like, okay, still a gap. Here. Don't put this in the podcast. But like, I'd be physically sick going to bed if I did not cap for Kirk Cousins before this podcast ended. So okay, stop editing this out. So no, I know, I'm kidding.
It's just a bummer. It's just an all around bummer, not just for Michigan State players. Like I said. It is
correct. Yeah.
Insane that Ezekiel Elliott isn't on an all-decade team. Well, I just don't,
why not? Like, you're the Big Ten Network in a place with no sports ever. Extend this thing over four weeks and do 4 weeks. Okay, this week, this 5 days of broadcasting, Monday through Friday, we're going to do the second team defense this week, second team offense. Oh, next week. Like just from a production standpoint, wouldn't you want to do this? But okay, here we are. Fine. My boy Kirk Cousins is not going to get the respect he deserves, or the guy who deserves it more, Connor Cook. But hey, here we are. Does anyone else from MSU get on before the end of the week, you think?
I think Shalik has the best shot.
I don't. I think Darian Harris brought something up good on Twitter today.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, the other one is, I don't know how they'll do this, if they're even doing this, but Mike Sadler would be the other one.
Yeah, I'm sure they will do special teams. I don't know who the kicker or holder or long snapper is going to be or whatever, but I feel like Sadler's got a good spot. And if I could add really quick, I don't know if you want to piggyback on top of this, but if Bola didn't have his Rose Bowl suspension, I got a feeling he would be in the linebacker group, maybe. But that's the thing. It's like, there are a zillion great linebackers in the Big Ten over the last decade. But I got a feeling like, oh boy, he would have had a really, really, really compelling case.
Yeah, he was there. I mean, he's definitely in that group. Sadler was an All-American. Mm-hmm. How many times did he do All-Big Ten? Hold on.
Oh, shoot. I want to say twice. I want to say twice, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, he definitely was an All-American.
Well, and that's it wouldn't even be like a sympathy thing. Like, it would be legitimate, like, yeah, great punter. he was the man.
Yeah. That's a scholar athlete thing. I mean, he obviously did all the stuff on the field. Sure. All-American 2013 from ESPN, CBS, Athlon, second team. Ray Guy semifinalist, All Big Ten, first team All Big Ten is a sophomore and a junior. Let me see his senior year. He's got so many damn academic things that you're like, you have to make sure it's not an academic
bright guy. Exactly right. Yeah. And just a nice guy too. Like, shockingly nice guy. I ran into him once at a college party. It was a Tour de Francia party, actually. Everyone dressed up in like spandex and whatnot. But yeah, I was like, oh hey, yeah, Mike Sadler, what's up, man? Great guy, sensational. Just like too nice. Just way too nice of a guy.
Yeah. Twice he was All-American as a senior as well. Not as many places named him as his junior year, but he did get All-American nominations as a senior and a junior, one of just a handful of MSU players to do that. Third Spartan to earn first team. Oh, damn it, that's academic. Damn it.
It doesn't matter. Couches and mattresses are getting lit on fire if I do not see him on the All-Big Ten team by the end of the day Friday.
Yeah, so he was an All-American, multiple-time first-team All-Big Ten. I don't think they do Punter of the Year. Freshman All-American as well. All-Big Ten freshman his freshman season. So, like, won a bunch of awards and was a Ray Guy semifinalist.
An awardsman, yes.
Yeah, so I think Mike does have a real good chance to win it posthumously, and that would be fantastic. I don't know Big Ten punters well enough off the top of my head to know if there's someone who is like, yeah, they're going to win it because they won
it. The only one I can think of is whoever the Ohio State punter is that pinned MSU within the 5-yard line 78 times a few years ago. That's it. Chrisman?
I don't even know. So Ray Guy, the last Ray Guy winner in the Big Ten was... BJ Sander, Ohio State, 2003. So,
okay, that's outside of this decade, I think. Yeah,
yep. So, real chance for, as my alarm goes off, to tell me to stop recording.
No, it's Drew Chrisman.
Sadler's got a real chance. Shalik Calhoun is going to be tough. Shalik has a great case, but it's just the competition is insane.
Yeah, and Burb, my boy Burb.
Burbridge and Lippitt also have a chance, but Allen Robinson is a lock at receiver.
Yeah,
and then it's a toss-up. Who gets the other spots? Well, are two, if it's just three.
Like, Cunningham, but like the MSU has so many finalists, I just don't think any of them will actually be the winner. Like Keyshawn Martin, Cunningham,
those guys aren't Burbridge. Anywhere near this conversation.
I know, and that's the crazy part about this. Just do two teams.
Anyway. MSU's finalist for receiver will be Burbridge and Lippitt. They both won Big Ten Receiver of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson won it twice, so he's going to be a lock. But like Marvin McNutt won it. DJ mm-hmm. Moore and Rondale Moore won it.
Sure.
Recently, there's a million OSU guys who could get on there as well.
Brandon Sowards. Right, exactly.
Austin Carr. Remember Austin Carr's season?
Wow, flashback. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so maybe Lippitt, maybe Calhoun. I think Sadler's got a good shot. Maybe one of those three gets it, but it's there's a real chance it's just Darquez, and maybe they can get two or three, which is kind of crazy considering they won 30% of the Big Tens in the decade.
My weekend's ruined.
Yep, and we're basically a flag away from winning 40% of them.
Don't. Why would you say that heading into the weekend? Why?
I don't know. All right, thanks so much for listening to today's show. Reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can find Locked On Spartans wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back Monday with a brand new episode just for you guys with a very hungover Matt off of a long vacation.
Yeah, no, that's a promise. That's a promise.
All right, Matt, take us home.
Where are...